Would you please open your Bibles and let's read from the book of Hebrews. If you get to James, you went too far. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. And starting at verse 19, we'll read responsively 19 to 25. Okay, let's try this together. We'll do responsively. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, the title I chose is, Since We Have Jesus, Let Us... Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the awesome privilege to look into your word from Hebrews as we take the first steps into 2021. We put our trust and future in you, who have proved yourself faithful in the past and the present, and we trust you in our future. As we look to this passage today, show us what we should do since we have Jesus. And let us encourage one another as we look at these beautiful words. Clothe me by your grace. Open our hearts. Speak to us where we are in our journey of following Jesus through this passage today. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So the key verse, actually, James read it so well, didn't he? I couldn't read the text on the screen, so I think he memorized it. But let's look at it again. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So, welcome to 2021. In terms of the pandemic, we are in transition mode. So we were flattening the curve in 2020, trying to bring COVID cases down. But now in 2021, we want to steepen the curve, meaning as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible. So Dongjin and Hannah are working hard. So meditating on this key verse, I was asking myself, what other transitions are we going through? And what else are we trying to steepen the curve on spiritually in our life in 2021? In 2020, God really helped us to build a firm foundation of worship. I see us in 2021 building upon that with a renewed focus on discipleship, relationship with God, and with one another. At the center is Jesus and what he has done. Now this will look very different and unique to the level of spiritual maturity and personal calling for each person following Jesus. But fortunately, this passage is very dense and there's something for everybody. So God have mercy on us to have ears to hear what he wants to say to us. How does he want us to steepen the curve of our personal discipleship this year? So looking at the book of Hebrews overall, it contains a wealth of doctrine and theology. So I really enjoyed it. It was written by a master of Greek rhetoric, Rhetoric is persuasive language. He knew how to really motivate us in the way that he wrote. And his goal was to move us beyond just the elementary teachings about the gospel of Jesus, the facts, the who, what, where, when, and whys, to maturity. He wants to call us to become whom God called us to be in Christ. What does following Jesus look like in the book of Hebrews? So our prayer in 2021, if we look at this picture, number two is the heart. We have a list of three, but number two is the heart. We want to stay centered in Jesus. When I thought about this passage, one way of understanding it is through the cross. In the cross, there's vertical and horizontal. Peter, what does vertical mean? Up and down. And Joe, what does horizontal mean?
Sideways.
And we can see in the cross over my head, up and down and side to side. And in the picture in the PowerPoint, loving God and loving one another. This is the cross. Discipleship covers both dimensions. With a primary focus of staying centered in Jesus, remembering God's faithfulness, I want to think about, one, how we can hold unswervingly to the gospel hope we profess, and two, how we can consider inventive ways to spur one another on in 2021. How messages are not usual for me, but that's what this one's going to be. Since we have Jesus, let us, first, the vertical. Let us draw near to God. Verse 23 tells us to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. But in that verse is an assumption that you've read all the previous 9.5 chapters and you know exactly what he means by the hope we profess, which he mentioned numerous times in those chapters. But I think we can find it in abbreviated form in verses 19 to 22. So let's look at these, the content of our gospel hope. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And if your eyes haven't glazed over, you are an excellent Bible student. It's very dense. So let's unpack it a little bit and try to get what he's saying. So verse 19 mentions the most holy place. What's the most holy place in your world? Maybe the bathroom where you can be apart from all the distractions. Or if you have a prayer closet. In the Bible, the most holy place referred to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. God commanded Moses to make a tent so that he could meet with God's people. He had redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. He brought them out to himself. But God is holy God, and his people are sinners. It was impossible for them to draw near to God as they were, because to come into the holy God's presence as a sinner was to receive the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and the condemnation for their sins. God did not want them to be destroyed coming into his presence. So he gave very detailed instructions to Moses so that sinful people could come into his presence. And he told them that once a year, a high priest would offer the blood of goats and calves on the altar. And then they would enter into the most holy place and sprinkle some blood on the mercy seat, You can see it there, it's shining so brightly, the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of it is the mercy seat, where the blood was sprinkled. It was there where God's glory dwelled, and when the blood was sprinkled, God would choose in his mercy to forgive their sins. Now the problem was, these had to be offered again and again. But they were not faithful to offer it again and again. And not only that, it was impossible for the blood of animals like goats and bulls to take away sins. But this is where Jesus' blood is different. Jesus' sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, and the breaking of his body on the cross takes away the sins of many. It doesn't just cover them up. It doesn't just hide them. It takes away the sins of many. In fact, Hebrews tells us that we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. His blood has obtained an eternal redemption for us. And because of this, we have confidence to enter the most holy place where God dwells, where God meets his people. The very presence of God, not because of anything that we have done, but because of the blood of Jesus, which was shed to take away our sins. So the vertical part of the cross is possible because of the rocket ship of Jesus' blood. Verse 20 goes on, it's all one sentence, and says, this is described as a new and living way opened for us. We couldn't see it well in the diagram, but between the holy place and the most holy place, God had them install a special curtain, and it symbolized the necessity for a barrier between the holy God and the sinful man. Because God, again, he did not want to destroy sinful man. He put a barrier there, this curtain that prevented them. Only once a year could they go through that curtain, and they had to do it trembling. But when Jesus died, this curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. God himself, I believe he delighted in tearing this curtain. But we must know that the curtain symbolized the broken body of Jesus on the cross. It was Jesus' own body broken for us that opened the new and living way, a life of following Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. The words new and living mean that it's a very dynamic thing. It's a very changing, transitional, but also intimate, practical, and personal way of following Jesus. Our lives are a journey on the way of Jesus, following Jesus. We're all traveling, different speeds, maybe different model cars, different Google Maps, but we're all following one way, which is Jesus. And he opened that way for us in a living and dynamic way on the cross. So, following Jesus through change and transition, we are growing in his image, like children in each stage of life. We are growing. And so as you reflect on the new and living way, the question I'm asking myself is it still new and living for me? Or has it become the old, old story, the elementary things? How might meditating on the body and blood of Jesus recapture the mystery of this way, the wonder and power of the gospel in our lives today? Verse 21 presents Jesus as a great priest over the house of God. This brings to mind that Jesus lives eternally as our mediator. There's no more curtain separating us from God. Now we have a mediator. We have Jesus. After his resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying to one who is fully able to empathize with our weaknesses, to understand everything that we are going through, to listen. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he never takes a day off. He never retires. He's never sick and on quarantine. He is always living to intercede as our mediator. All the way along the new and living way, the ups and the downs, we have one in heaven who is interceding for us, our great priest, our mediator. And since we have Jesus as the once and for all sacrifice for our sins, Jesus, the new and living way for us to come to God, Jesus, the great priest over God's house, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. It is important to take this verse in context. It's talking about having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. And if we don't read it carefully, we might think, oh, I can't draw near to God until my heart is sincere and my faith is fully assured and my heart is sprinkled and my body is cleansed. Actually, I'm wretched, poor, blind, and naked, so I can never draw near to God. And so it's an exercise in futility. The vertical isn't real. But the verse is not saying that. Rather, drawing near to God through the new and living way, that is the way to be made holy. Following Jesus, he sprinkles and cleanses our heart from a guilty conscience. He washes our body and is in the process of making us holy. And all of this is just a recap of the hope that we all share. So I come back to our question. How am I to hold unswervingly to the gospel hope? All of these things we've listed in 2021. Consider the vertical nature of the cross. I'm repeating myself again and again. Through the blood of Christ, a new and living way has been opened for us to confidently approach God's throne of grace. And when we confidently approach God's throne of grace, he promises we will receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Because we are not alone in this journey. But the question is for 2021, will we walk in it? He says, let us. Or will we just be satisfied with knowing it all? The question isn't, do I know it all? But will I walk in it? Will I follow Jesus? Many of us know this in theory. Maybe some of our children don't know the details, but they know the rudimentary and elementary things. But just as much as they do, we too need to walk in it. Because discipleship isn't theory. It isn't knowledge. It's practice that requires intentionality. It requires the making of time and space to engage in this new and living way. It means to take time, to set apart and spend time this way, remembering the body and blood of Jesus, not just in abstract, but in personal relations to me and what I'm doing and what I'm going through. And I think in 2021, at the beginning of the year, like the whole world, we're all making resolutions. We have good intentions that we're going to engage on the vertical relationship with God. But good intentions to spend it without a decision of faith and follow through remain only good intentions. Jesus told us one way to remember his blood and his body through the practice of communion. Remembering his body and blood. And he told us to do this whenever you remember him. I hope we may do it more obediently to Jesus as a ministry in regard to this year. But it's important to know that this only provides a space and a context in which to come vertically to God. It cannot bring you to God unless you draw near to him. Walk the way. Take the time to engage in the self-examination. Identify the root issues before the cross of Christ. Bring that guilty conscience to be sprinkled. Bring that body to be washed and made holy, whatever area or dimension of your life. And bring our weaknesses and concerns to the great priest who understands and wants to intercede. We all know we should do that. Let's not be people of woulda, coulda, shoulda, but let's be people who walk the way, the new and living way. Sometimes examples are helpful. Amy was laid off for most of 2020, over 8 months. It could be easy to be full of anxiety and worry, to say, oh, I should pray to God, and every week say the same thing, I should pray to God. But instead, she saw it and took the opportunity to take Jesus' yoke and learn from him. It was not theory. It was practical and painful and hard. Every morning to get up early, knowing that you're not going to work, but simply to meet with God, to pray, to meditate on God's word, to bring everything to him, and then to exercise her body, to clean and cook as acts of God's service to the people of God in her own home. Through these months, she came to understand herself before God and her family better, to serve them in needed, practical, and effective ways. We could not have made it through 2020 if she had not done this. So now she's steepening the curve of her relationship with Jesus. In 2021, the rocket ship is taking off in vertical relationship with Jesus. So she took Psalm 5:3 as her key verse this year. It says, at each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of praise to you. Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. We have recognized the need in this church for parents to talk and pray for years. But this past Friday, Lydia Kim and Susan Lewis's suggestion came to fruition, and we had our first parents' meeting. It is an intentional step to engage with our great priest who understands and hears our prayer and always lives to intercede and who understands us. Again, the question comes back to us. How will you hold the gospel hope and draw near to God this year? Please let us not let it be another year of woulda, coulda, shoulda, but didn't. Let's let it be a year where the rocket takes off in relationship towards God. As a community, as individuals, in order to grow as Jesus' disciple in our inner person, we need time to explore what's going on in there. We need time to bring that to God and draw near to God so he may cleanse it. He may make it holy. and help us to grow in Jesus' image. Please don't just listen to these words, but somehow let's make a decision. Resolve one practical way you will draw near to God in 2021, and then share it with someone so they can hold you accountable. And in this way, we can steepen the curve in our discipleship. Now, second, the horizontal. Let's see who's obeying. Can you reach out your hands? Are you touching someone? Are you in somebody's space? That's the horizontal. That's the horizontal. We're in each other's space. Let us consider one another. And let us consider how we might spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Does anybody like studying grammar? Do you like that, Caleb? You like studying grammar? You're fine with it. He's fine with it. I never liked it when I was a kid. But studying Greek, I fell in love with grammar because it's so awesome to learn what's going on in a sentence and peel back the mystery of communication. So let us and one another. That's the subject and the object of this verb, of this verse. It means that all of us, individually, in groups, and corporately, we are both the subject and the object of this sentence. Oftentimes we read this very individualistically, but that's not the sense in the verb. We are the subject, and we are the object. Let us, one another. It's a reflexive object. It means that we are also included in the consideration. We don't take ourselves out of the thoughts that we have about others, but they are together with me. Let us consider one another. We're included in that. It means that we are also included in the action. So it doesn't mean we're considering, what should Greg do? How can I stir Greg to do something? Or Russell really needs to do this. But us together. What will spur us, not only that, but as one group to another? How are we, older families, investing in younger families? How are parents of older children praying for and investing in parents of younger children? How are we coming alongside those facing very difficult life decisions in 2021? One group to another, one family to another, toward love and good deeds. The verb here is consider. I've been thinking about this for 2 weeks. Its use is very broad. It means notice. You can't consider somebody if every time you walk into a room you don't even see them. So it begins with noticing them. Oh, look at Abigail. Actually, she draws the attention, so we can all notice and consider her. It means observe. Doesn't mean, oh, that's that person, look away, avoid eye contact. No, observe. What's going on in that person's life? And then reflect. That's another use of this verb. Reflect. What does it mean? What did they mean when they said that? I should ask them. Or contemplate. Here's one. Envisage. Envisage. It means have a vision for someone. Wow. Or think about. It means more than just simply finding principles that we need to tell somebody to do through commands, but it requires discernment and observation. Jesus used this word. He said, consider the ravens. He didn't want us to study ravens. He said, consider the lilies. He didn't want us to study lilies. He wanted us to think about the God who feeds the ravens, the God who clothes the fields. It means we need to go deeper. More than the things themselves, he wants us to go deeper. And so our third prayer topic this year tells us, consider inventive ways. And this requires knowing one another what people like and what they don't like, learning about each other, and then making intentional space and regular space for thoughtful listening. Listening. The purpose of our consideration is the prepositional phrase, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It literally translates toward provocation or toward stimulation or toward motivation of love and good deeds. And this can be taken as a motivation. I'm considering them because I really want to love them well, and I want to do good works for them. It can also be taken as an example, modeling. I want to set an example of love and good deeds for them, that it will stimulate them to follow as Jesus went ahead. And it is also directed with Christ at the center, because he's the one who's leading, and he is the one who loved us and did good deeds. Now, I have a whole nother page of extra credit, bonus, that you can read in the manuscript, because I know we're always looking for good ideas and examples. We want to join all kinds of workshops and things to learn how to encourage one another, right? And Hebrews is full of such examples, so I've included a list of 20 things in the message. If you go to the website and you download that, you'll find a list of 20 things. They're not my idea. It's straight from the book of Hebrews about what it means to spur, motivate, and encourage one another to love and good deeds. But there's one I want to look at, which is verse 25. It gives us two contrasting examples of what it looks like in practice to motivate each other to love and good deeds. It says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we are going to consider one another intentionally, we're going to need to carve out and make space and time to do it in. It won't happen. It'll be a coulda, woulda, shoulda, unless we do that intentionally. Now, it may seem like this is particularly relevant in the age of social distancing. We should give up the quarantine and just dwell together. But that's actually not what it's saying. The reason for a habit of giving up or forsaking meeting together doesn't have to do with the difficulty of the situation. Here it means forsaking meeting because of great discouragement in the heart, great disappointment in the church that leads people to fall away. And the author of Hebrews understood that in the heart of the church. And he wanted to encourage them. And he said, don't let yourself fall into discouragement or disappointment or bitterness about what's happening in the world around you and in your local church. If the work seems too small, or the person doesn't seem to listen to you the way you want them to, it's very easy to forsake meeting together and fall into a perpetual discouragement. And his answer isn't, so get to the meeting on time or else. His answer is, if you feel discouraged, then encourage someone else. If you feel disappointed, then consider someone else. And in this way, you will turn it around. Not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. And he says, all the more as you see the day approaching. Because the source of discouragement, the source of disappointment, is a world that's subject to sin and darkness. But there is a day coming when justice will reign. There is a day coming when every tear will be dried. There is a day coming when Jesus will come and judge the living and the dead. But Hebrews emphasizes he will come to take up those who trust in him. Rather than allowing ourselves to get discouraged, let's encourage one another and consider ways that we all may be motivated to love and good deeds. Because as Greg said last week, we need each other. Let's make intentional decisions. Whether it's online, like everyone on the YouTube, or it's over the phone, or in person in this building. Let's be intentional to meet together. Let's be intentional to give space to each other and consider one another. And find even one way to motivate one another toward love and good deeds in 2021. In this way, we may grow in discipleship vertically and horizontally in this new year. Let's pray. Father, you gave us so many ways that we can grow and come into your presence. You have removed every obstacle. You have removed every barrier. You have made this a new and living way, a way in which Jesus always lives to intercede for us. And we know this. Please help us, Lord, not to let this year pass us by without taking another step in steepening the curve in relationship with you. May you help us find intentional and practical ways to draw near to you, to hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering, because we know you are faithful. And also, Father, help us to think of one another, to notice each other, to encourage one another in love and good deeds in this new year. Give us courage, Father, to step into this and grow. Thank you for this. Speak to each of our hearts where we are. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.